write thee all the word unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Lord, and I will cause them to return to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words which the Lord spake concerning Israel. For thus saith the Lord, we've heard a voice of fear, not of peace. Whether a man doth travail with child, see every man with his hands on his loins, all faces are turned into paleness. For that day is great. It is even the time of Jacob, but he shall be deceived out of it. For it shall come to part of hosts, that I will break his and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve Jehovah their God and David their king, whom I will raise up. Therefore fear thou, servant Jacob, saith the Lord. Neither, for lo, I will save thee and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have sent, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether. Verse 24. The Lord shall not return undone it, and until he is of his heart. In the latter day he shall consider it. I've enjoyed the privilege of sharing of the Word of God in these mornings. And we have been looking at God's pearl. We have seen what tells us about the future, because of the immutable covenant, future of God's people. And we of Holy Scripture can not possibly other meaning than Israel's version. We've so very, very far from confirms it. Now, morning, seeing how this out in history, because I believe that tells us that God has his purpose for his covenant people. Now, there are two remarkable chapters in the Pentateuch provide us with a divine forecast of Israel's history. Leviticus chapter 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28. Spoken by Moses before ever Israel. And yet a moving, detailed forecast of history would be. History from the standpoint, the human limited standpoint of seeing the past. God looks at history from his standpoint of seeing the future. Noteworthy fact that Eve was able by the Spirit of God to fork what the history of Israel would be before ever they entered into the conquest. Look then at one or two verses from Leviticus 26. See how over and over again God warns results of unfaithfulness. Will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commands, if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments. But that ye break my covenants, also will do this unto you. I'll set my face against you. Coming on down the chapter, old words are used, that I will to you, will punish seven times for your sins. I will scatter you among the nations, to sword after you, and your land shall be desolate. Ah, but the chapter closes in the 42nd verse that this isn't to be the end. Chastisement, correction, suffering, but not the end of the immutable. Then humbled and turns to God, then will I remember Jacob and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my Ham will I remember, and I will remember the land. Verse 44, we're enemies. In the scatter, when they're in the land of their enemies, I go away, neither will I abhor them to destroy and to break my covenant with them, him Jehovah their God, but I will for their remember the covenant of their ancestors. I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen their God. I am Jehovah. Or turn to the parallel passage in Deuteronomy. Some 38 years or so. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Suppose he leaves his people. He gives them warning. Remarkable detail describes what will be in their exile. What he will send upon them of their unfaithfulness. All these curses, he says, shall come upon thee. Verse 46, for a sign and for thy seed. But again, this is not to be the end. This is not to be the final thing. Look at verse 63. It shall come to pass over you to do you good and to multiply you. It will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught off from the land whither thou goest to possess it. Scatter thee from among all people from the one end of the earth. We talk about the ubiquitous Jew. We say there's no bound. The Lord will one end of the earth even unto the other. Nations shalt thou find no ease. The sole of thy foot find rest. Shall hang in doubt before thee. That day and night. And thou shalt have of thy life. In the morn would God it were even, and at even would God it were morning. For heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine thou shalt see. I wonder if you realize people has suffered in the long sense scattering. And their exile. Call to mind that even in our own, the suffering of Israel was six people put because they were Jews. We had six members of our mission in the who were there to take the gospel to their own people. And who were packed with others' names and have never been seen again. Would to God it were evening. Clearly Moses forecasts what will be. Ah, but in Deuteronomy it is, that isn't the end of the story. Come to the 30th chapter. thee. The Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, passion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from them. If any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will the land which thy fathers possessed for the restoration to the land of Israel, to the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Here's God's forecast of what Israel, her unfaithfulness, her prolonged and intense suffering, and at last, not only to the land, but to... Turn back together in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 3, Jeremiah's message concerning the exile. The exile was taking place. 150 Jeremiah, the northern kingdom had been exiled by the Assyrians. Coming to Judah and Jerusalem, that the same fate. He was the prophet of the captive. He had the burdensome task, that they must submit and humble themselves before God. His judgment was upon them. Now Jeremiah, we call them the Book of the Covenant. Of what God has still in store for his direct you, particularly to verse 11. This is what the exile is to mean. Make a full end of all nations whither I've scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. I will correct and not leave thee altogether unpunished. The captivity was to be chastisement, not destruction. Not be the end. Instead, on what God would do, not on them. Make a full end, though I make a full end of all the nations whither I've scattered. Where are the empires that enslaved Judah? The Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians. These mighty empires have long since passed. We see the rest of what once they were in the mind them, that they themselves have gone as a wind. So I made all the nations whither I've scattered rise and empires fall. Yet will I not make an end of thee. As Moses has said in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, the captivity was in death, but in ultimate rest. And this is the concern of the Old Testament prophets. A moment at the words of Balaam, in the 21st, when he was brought, people of God, but found that an impossibility. Cursed, but he stayed to bless. Verse 19. Balaam couldn't curse the people whom God had blessed. God is not a man that he should lie, the son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Has he spoken, and shall he not make it? Behold, I've received commandment of, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. According to this time, head of Jacob and of Israel, God wrought. Because upon what God is and on his power, Israel to end in destruction, what has God wrought? But then at the story,
You're familiar.
The history of the people of the Jews. How the northern kingdom fell before the Assyrians in 74 Christ. You'll know the southern kingdom was overwhelmed by... Once again, her people were transported away from their homes. And how many of them perished. But you will know also that Old Testament... that God was faithful to his word and back his people into the land of their father. Remarkable books of Ezra and Nehemiah. The story of the restoration. By any manner of means, a remnant, a minority. What was it? 1,000 people were in the first Eliah. They grew to be a sizable nation. No time have the majority people been back in the land. It has never even to more than a remnant. By when our Lord Jesus was here, 500 years after the return, there were many more Jews outside Judea than in it. They were still a scattered people. They have continued a scattered people. To our day. There is nothing, even in the wonder of the return from exile, to the biblical promises. God promised to do for his people must be few, for it has never in its fullness experienced. The Jewish people in the days before the Lord's coming. We think of them in the land of Israel, in the land where the second temple was built. And we see this remarkable thing that not only a minority of the people back into the land, their nation was re-established. Done with a remarkable spiritual revival, of the outstanding revivals in the sacred history. Tells us that remarkable story of how the people gathered together on the New Year's Day, Rosh Hashanah, seventh month. Spontaneous revival broke out among them based on the reading of the Torah, the reading based on their instruction by the Levites and their teeth on their dedicating themselves renewed God. And that revival place after the return was to set the life of the Jewish people until this day. The days of the great synagogue, the days of the second temple. When the pattern of Jewish life was set around the temple and around the law. People, when he brought them back to the land. You know, in the... Not only are there the seven the sacred festivals that make up the sacred year, but there are two additional feasts that from their history added. The first of Hanukkah. You read of the dedication on the occasion of our Lord's visit to... A remarkable story lies behind the story of how a bitter anti-Semite, Antiochus, the illustrious, the outshining, people of Antioch nicknamed him Epimenes, madman. How he tried to faith of the Jewish people there in the land. How he desecrated. How he offered a swine in the temple. And how he forbade the reading of the sacred books of the Hebrew people and sought to do everything to their fathers. And how God and his family. They named him Maccabee because his sons... That is such hammer blows, Maccabeus, hammer, such as how he raised the sneer, whoso is zealous for the law, and forbid him come to me. And hard upon him Judas Maccabeus and then his brother's temple. And to this day, at the time when you had Christmas, world over, have little candlesticks with eight branches, and one middle one, the shamus, the servants. And for eight nights, they light the three and so on until the eight are burning in thanksgiving to God for that delivered to them. Every year, over 2,000 years, the Jews' festival of lights, Hanukkah, it God did for the people he had brought back into the land. But they were only a minority.
At this point,
Hanukkah, in memory of what God did into the land. But they were only a minority. The bulk of the Jewish people were scattered throughout the Persian Empire. Well, you have another in the book of Esther, which tells the remarkable story of the Jewish people throughout the vast Persian Empire in danger of utter destruction. And so every year, the Jewish people still tell Purim. That means lots. Memory of the story of how they failed to destroy the Jews. How Mordecai Truman, on the very day that he thought was the lucky story, they cast lots. The heathen soothsayers to cast lots. A lucky day to destroy the Jews. Lots. That's why they call it Purim. And they 11 months ahead, so that the message could go through that on that day the Jews were to be attacked by their enemies. And on that very day, Haman was hung on the gallows that he had built, Mordecai. How wonderful are the ways of God. And so back in the land, and also in the exile, people. Do you know any people with a history like that? And then we come on down to the days of our Lord. We come on down at last. Israel's great tragedy. He came unto the things that were his own people received him not. All that their history had patterned through the years, when they said, this is the Son, him, that the inheritance may be ours. And when there fell upon Judah on that final blow, 40 years after the crucifixion, when the Romans came and took away their plain, the temple was burnt, and the people, those that scattered. When Joseph, so many put aside for crucifixion, wasn't wood enough to contain the bodies. No wonder Jesus wept as he looked forward. And ever since then, the people, there have been Jewish communities, first of all, under Muslim rule, far better under Islam that they did than they did, or under Protestant Germany. Come on down, King of Israel, scattered, still surviving in her scattering of the 19th century. Think of these Jewish little enclaves, wherever Jews lived, held together by their faith, synagogue, with no higher ambition to be a good Talmud scholar, just and isolated by all people. Until in the 19th century there broke out a movement to reach out to wider horizons. They called it Hassanment. And the Jew, poring over Talmudic scripts, he began education. He began to go out into the great world. It led to what was believed would be the solving of the Jewish problem. They altered the tone of life of the Jewish communities. They were still subject to the people amongst whom. There came the Russian pogroms. When 10 in the Pale of Settlement and the Russian Empire perished, the Jew began to see one solution to his problem as he saw it. Jews had been brought to England by... That's when Jews first came to England with the Normans, but they had entry by Edward I. And it wasn't legal for England until the days of Oliver Cromwell. Sort of thing that was their repeated history. When the Crusaders flee the promised land to fight the infidel in the Holy Land, they said, what is the good of fighting there while the unbeliever... And so tens, hundreds of thousands of Jews by the Crusaders. When there was a plague, when there was an epidemic, or it's the wicked Jews who poisoned. And so the whole community, subject to pillage and massacre. Saddest of all, hundreds and thousands of Jews at the hand of so-called Christian people who were avenging the crucifixion of Christ. The Jew was the God-slayer. So the Jew came to feel that the only solution was no longer to be in the land of his enemy, but to be in a land... And so there grew up in Eastern Europe, in the Russian Pale of the Jews had come to be, these little groups, Zion, lovers of Zion. From the jargon that was a medieval German mix, they turned from that and they revived their Hebrew, not classical Hebrew, the simple form. And all over the place there were these little groups of learning the language, and many of them to Palestine. We don't call it Palestine now, simply Philistine is the Greek side. But they migrated to Palestine. They bought them. They developed them. You know the wonderful story, how in the decay of the Turkish Empire that Jerusalem was freed. When Alan put through the Jaffa Gate into Jerusalem, when Britain accepted, and in spite of all the difficult, how at last in 19, the new state of Israel was, and Israel became once again born amongst the nations of the earth. There are more than 3 million Jewish people in that land, come from all over the world. They have revived their culture, they've revived their, recreated their state. And one can't read the story without God wrought. We read in the book of the Return, they were to pass through a time of that day of Jacob's trial. That day that is still future. That day that the rabbi have called the birth pangs of the Messiah. Nothing has been solved, dear people. is in the midst of her enemies in spite of all that God has done. And there lies, alas, before her the darkest people have ever known. Both and Daniel 12 tell us it will be a time of unprecedented they say, he shall it. For as Daniel puts, the people shall be delivered, every one who's in the book. What God writes is irrevocable. It must, it will pass. Through the long centuries that week, when in the synagogue the Jewish people haven't prayed, might be restored, and that they might come again to the land of 2,000 years. This prayer to God, a year down through that long, long period, when at the end closed the festivities with the words, next in Jerusalem, leaves, then we shall be free men. We are here in bondage, then we shall be. This has been the soul of the Jewish longing down through the centuries. And it's got a new. For this is what has wrought. And even though the suffering lies before her, even though the time of Jacob's trouble, she shall be saved out of it. Now, I'm a poor preacher. I say things as I haven't got. When the time comes, I've got to sit down. I can't say the rest that I've got there. I've got some other preachers here. Maybe they would confess to the same thing. If they don't, well, my congratulations. But let me close just with this. I want you to turn back to Jeremiah chapter 30, Book of the Covenant. Love you. From the 30th. This is the future history of the people. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house. Oh, how often I've heard people preach about the blessings of the new, his ours. But they've forgotten that it was primarily Israel's. The covenant that I made with their fathers in the day to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord, be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After these days, saith the Lord, my law in their inward parts, and write it in their heart, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Thank God we have been brought into the good of this, that the blessing of Abraham has come on the Gentiles by faith. God for the new covenant, written by the Spirit of God. Not on letters of stone, but of flesh. But this is people. And what right have we to take it away from the grace of God? We've been brought into the good of it. Before, and they shall teach no man, every man and his brother, saying, know the Lord, for know me. From the least of them, saith the Lord, for I will iniquity, and will remember this no more. We'll see another morning what. That's why he says, all Israel shall all know me, from the leastest of them. They don't now. Victorial return. The only thing is keep their own religion. It's coming. When they shall all know. What meaning do you attach to that? Do you see anything in the church? Do you see any of it? Anything in the mission field that's the fulfillment of it? Do you see anything in Israel that's the fulfillment of it? But it's the promise of God. Oh, read on. Look at verse 35. That the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of ours for a light by night, who divides the sob roar. Jehovah Sabaoth is his name. If these ordinances depart from the Lord, then the seed of Israel will cease from being a nation before me forever. Take the sun and the moon out of the sky. Harness the ever-changing time. And then God's covenant to his people will fail. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, foundations of the earth searched out beneath, measure the limitless heavens, penetrate even the very planet on which you live, then will I cut all the seed of Israel have gone. That is to say, worldly conditions last, promise will stand. Amen. Let's close.